Yes, we must have faith. Of course we know this. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is very difficult. No. Without faith it is impossible. But faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Jeremy Pearson's grandson of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland as he studies the foundation cornerstone of our Christian walk, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am Jeremy Pearson's, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's oldest grandson, and I'm going to be with you every day this week and every day next week. So don't turn your television off just yet. I know you're going to enjoy this. And I want to say right at the top of this broadcast how much I appreciate my grandfather calling me a couple of weeks ago and saying, Jeremy, I'm going to be out of town. I need you to do a couple of weeks of broadcast for me. And I said, yes, sir. You know, when Brother Copeland calls and says, I need you to do some broadcast, you don't check your schedule, you clear your schedule. So fortunately for me, that's not a difficult thing to do. But I am so appreciative to be here. I'm so thankful not only to them, but to you for allowing me to come into your home or your office or wherever you are watching right now. Maybe you've downloaded these broadcasts and you're in a waiting room watching them on your phone or something like that. I'm grateful to be with you, and I'm thankful to them and to you and to the Lord. God is so good to us, and I've got some things stirring in me this week. And what's interesting about what we're going to get into this week is this is very much a part of who I am and where I come from and what my life has been about. Not only growing up in the household of faith and Brother and Sister Copeland's household, Mimi and Papa, as I affectionately call them, but also my parents, you know, Pastors George and Terry Pearson's pastor here at Eagle Mountain International Church. And this is not something, and I've said this a lot of times, but this is not something that only lives and speaks from this table or this desk or this pulpit. This is something that this family has brought inside our home, our house, in our lives, high school, college, every bit of it. This word of faith has affected us, and it has made us who we are, and we are grateful to the Lord for that. And that's what I want us to jump into this week. We're going to get into the Word of God and what the Word has to say about faith. Now, when I was on this broadcast just a month or so ago with my grandfather, he and I were touching on some of these things, and I was hesitant at first to jump back into this subject of faith, and I have to remind myself over and over, you can never hear too much about faith. Now, this ministry has been built on this message for the last 40 plus years, and they've been preaching it and preaching it and preaching it. And if they preached it for another 40 plus years, it would never be enough. We would never get to the end of hearing about faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus, in His Word, in what He said He's done, in who He said He is. We can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of it. And if you're at the place right now and you're thinking, I have heard this message over and over, number one, hopefully you haven't. Hopefully there's some things that we're going to say today that are new to you. But even if you have, even if you've heard every single word I say today, it's not always just about what you've heard. It's about what you're living in. It's about what you're walking in. What are you applying? How has this affected your life? Today, I want to go before the Lord. We're going to pray and then get right into this broadcast today. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the opportunity that you have placed in front of us to minister your word. God, this is your word, ministered by the help of your Spirit under your anointing to your people who are your body. God, we look to you today. Our expectation is not on each other. My expectation is not on this viewing audience, and their expectation is not on me. But together, we are expectant in you and in your word. Thank you, Father, for this mighty word that we have to stand on. We're not alone, but we have a firm foundation beneath our feet. We run to it, we look to it, we listen to it, and we grow by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's jump into the Word of God today. And like I said, we are going to jump into this topic of faith. We're going to be investigating what the Word of God has to say about this. Now, here's the way I want to approach this. And this is something interesting that the Lord's been doing in my life and in my ministry over the last year or so. And every time I take the pulpit, now up until now I've ministered primarily to young people, do a lot of ministry in our church here, to our adult congregation as well, but every time I take the pulpit and every time I study to take the pulpit and study to prepare to speak to a body of believers, the Lord keeps backing me up. And what I mean by that is he keeps, every time I jump in and think, I'm going to start here, the Lord says, okay, but what do you have to know or what do you have to understand before you can get there? And so you back up a little bit. And then he says, okay, what comes before that? There's something that comes before that. And I back up and I back up. Last year sometime, I was preparing to teach in our church here on hearing the voice of God. And every time I sat down to study, I'd think, okay, I'm going to start by talking about how the Word is God speaking to us. And God said, no, I want you to back up, back up, back up. And I kept backing this thing up thinking, God, what do you want me to say? Where do we start here? And this was on a Wednesday night getting ready to go to church. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I teach about hearing the voice of God? I know that we are to hear the voice of God. I know that it's available to us. How do I teach this? You want to know what's in you? Go try to teach it. All this that you think you know, all this you think you've ascended to, what happens when you sit down with somebody who's got a question? What comes out of you? That's what's in you. That's what's rooted in you. And here I am thinking, how do I teach on hearing the voice of God? And that particular night, Sarah, my wife, was getting ready to leave for church. She was leaving early. She coordinates and leads a lot of the music that we do here at our church, and she's one of our worship leaders. And she was pulling out of the garage, and I'm standing there saying bye to her, and I'm thinking, something inside's going, don't let Sarah drive tonight. Sarah, don't. She's not supposed to drive tonight. I'm thinking, if I take her, I'm going to be late, so on and so on. And so she's driving away, and something's just kind of scratching at me, but it's not like a loud, booming voice or anything, so it must not be God, right? Right. And I go back in the house, and I'm thinking, how do I teach on hearing the voice of God? How do I do this? How do I do this? And about 10 minutes later, I get a call from Sarah, and she says, Jeremy, I've been in an accident. Now, When you look back at what happened that day, it was the grace and the mercy of God. I mean, I could get into the details of it, but it was miraculous that it was nothing but a scratch on the front of her car. And I thought to myself, that's how you teach on hearing the voice of God. You listen. He speaks. And I backed up and up and up all the way I got to, till I got to this question, does God speak? And I was living proof standing right there in my house that yes, God speaks. So see what happens when you begin to back up and you look for the foundation of a thing. That's what I want to do where faith is concerned today. Now, like I said, God is wonderful. He's merciful, gracious, and kind. And when we miss it like I did, oh, he is so gracious to let us know that he was still on the scene. But this is what I want to do today where faith is concerned. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of things. We talk a lot about love. We talk a lot about different things where the Word of God is concerned. But today I want to talk about faith. I want us to do an about faith right here today. All right. So let's jump into the Word. We're going back to the foundations of these things. We're going to look at several scriptures here right at the beginning. And I'm going to kind of do a sword drill with you here. So go get your Bible, get something to write with, something to write on, and take some notes with me today. If you're able to do that where you are, we're going to look at several scriptures right here at the beginning, and I want your eyes to rest on them so you see what we're talking about. Let's start first of all in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. looking at verse 15, the Apostle Paul getting ready to go into what we call the Ephesian prayers, these spiritual prayers that he was praying for these people. Chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 15 again, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Now, turn to Colossians, just a few pages over. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints." Verse 3 before that says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always." These prayers that he is praying for the people in these churches are coming as a result of what he's heard about them. Let me show you one more example. Turn to the book of Philemon, just before Hebrews, and one chapter in this book. Look at verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ," or toward the Lord Jesus, "and all the saints." Do you realize that people don't talk about nothing? Paul is saying here, in these three instances, "I am inspired to pray for you. The Spirit of God is moving in me and on me, and I am brought to my knees to pray for you." Now, when you go back and look at what he prayed, my God, what the things that he said as revelation that was coming out of him where these churches were concerned, he prayed about the eyes of their understanding being flooded with light, that they would know the hope of their calling. The intensities and the fervor of these prayers. But what did they come from? They came from a result, or as a result, of what he heard about them. What he heard. Now, people don't talk about nothing. People don't spread conversation about nothing. "Did you hear about Kenneth Copeland Ministries? No, what happened?" Nothing. Nobody's talking about that. "Did you hear about Jeremy Pearson's, about what he said?" No, what'd he say? Nothing. Nobody's interested. People like to talk about something. People don't like to talk about nothing. People don't spread rumors about nothing. People don't gossip about nothing. People aren't engaged in conversation about nothing. It's always about something. Now, wherever Paul was in the world at this time, or these times when word got back to him, people were talking. They were talking about this church at Ephesus. They were talking about the Colossians. He was talking about Philemon. And what were they saying? They were talking about two things: their faith and their love. In the book of Romans, the first chapter, he says, "Your faith is heard of around the world." My God, let that be said of us. This is what people should be talking about. Where you are concerned and where I'm concerned, where your church, your ministry, your family, your life, this church, ministry, family, and life, this is what they should be talking about. Our faith. Man, these people believe God for everything. Have you heard how they believe God? Have you heard how they trust in Jesus? This is what they should be talking about. People aren't talking about nothing. They're talking about something. And if word is spreading, it's not spreading about nothing. It's spreading about something. And the thing that's interesting to me about every instance that we just read is what he said about their faith. He did not just say, "I heard about your faith." And he didn't just say, "I heard about your love." He said, "I heard about your faith in Jesus. I heard about your love for each other." Now, if you want to come to the very foundation of faith, to the very root of what it is and what it's about, this, I believe, is the most foundational statement of faith. What he said here in every one of these instances, he said, faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you can write this down, I want you to write this statement, because this statement that I'm about to give to you is where we are going to be studying from for the rest of this week, and if the Lord leads us on into next week. But our complete statement, our foundational statement of faith for this study is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that faith is not operative until it is in someone or something? Faith, you cannot be, I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith, I'm a person of faith. Faith in what? I don't know, nothing. Then no, you're not. Because until faith is in someone or in something, it's not working, it's not faith. But the moment it is in someone or in something, or in our case, in Jesus, then it becomes alive. Then it starts to operate. Faith is not operative. Faith is dead until it is in someone or in something. Our faith is ineffective, inoperative, until it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be saying to yourself, I want to hear about faith for finances. That's what we're talking about. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear about faith for my family, faith for relationships, faith for promotion. That's exactly what I'm talking to you about. How can you effectively separate faith for from faith in? Can I have faith for something good to happen in my life without first having faith in a good God? Can I have faith for increase without faith in the increaser? Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for faith for anything else. This is where we begin. This is where we start. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of paper and notes and stuff here that I want to read to you. And a lot of this, I want to encourage you to go online. You can actually go to emic.org. That's our church website. And some of what I'm going to be teaching to you this week and next came from a teaching I did here at the church in our Wednesday night congregation to our adults in our Believers Institute. And some of those notes are online. I encourage you to go look for those. But let me read to you some scripture today. We won't take the time to turn to them, but I want to get this point across to you. You are going to see this. This that I'm talking to you about right now is so loud in Scripture. It is so real in Scripture. This foundation where we are starting from, this is reality. Say it with me. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this in the book of Romans chapter 3. Let me just read this to you. In Romans chapter 3 verse 21 it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." The righteousness of God is revealed through faith in Jesus. Our righteousness, our right standing with God, or our right to stand with God. How do we have that? How do we stand in that? Where does that come from? Yes, it comes by faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? In Him. Romans chapter 3 verse 26 says, "To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Yes, it requires faith. Yes, yes, we must have faith. Of course we know this. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is very difficult. No. Without faith it is impossible. But faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. And as a discipline, as a practice throughout all this study, here's what we're going to do. Every time we hear or use this word faith, we're going to make it this complete statement. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, my household, this place where I've grown up, this ministry, we are famous for our faith, right? We are famous for our message. And we tend to be famous too for some of the things we say. Things like, well, use your faith. Or are you in faith? Now, a lot of people are famous for saying, well, I just don't feel like I have enough faith for that. Well, my faith isn't there yet. And one of the things, this is a place I'm at in my life right now, and I want you to jump on board with me here. Don't just say something out of habit. Don't just say something out of religion. Find out what you're saying. And if we come to grips or we come face to face with something we've been saying that we think is Bible and it's not, then let's be quick to let the Lord correct us. And every time we use this word faith, every time we see it in Scripture, and every time we use it just in our own expressions, I want us to make it this complete statement, faith in the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? Every time you say something like, well, you know, I just don't feel like I have the faith for that. Or my faith isn't there yet. Well, go ahead and make that a complete statement of faith and see how it sounds. I just don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for that. Because that's what faith is. The foundation of it is faith in the Lord Jesus. Are you telling me I can trust Jesus, but not for that? Are you telling me Jesus is that good to me, but not that good? He's this good, but there's no way he's that good? Because that's what we say when we say things like, well, I just don't have faith for that. My faith isn't there. Man, we are going to get into this week. This is going to make sense to you. It's going to be loud to you. Let me just read one or two more of these. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, in Him, in Jesus, by Him, through Him. Man, you know what? I want to leave you with this statement right here, and this is where we're going this week, and this is what's going to excite you. The design and the purpose in all of this is to take the pressure off of you. There's no pressure on you. You get your eyes on Him. You get your eyes on what He said and what He's done, and He will carry you through. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Does God have a plan for me?
What am I supposed to do with my life?
Now what do I do?
What are your life questions? Discover God's plan for your life and stay on course with it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries introduces Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, an exciting new curriculum that will help you discover step-by-step God's plan for your life based on the New York Times best-selling book, God's Master Plan for Your Life by Gloria Copeland. This personal, in-depth Bible study includes a 5-disc DVD video teaching with Gloria, a 5-CD set of the entire teaching, and a one-of-a-kind interactive workbook and journal. Learn practical ways to apply biblical truths that bring answers to your life questions. Connect with God's plan for your life in a deeper way and make your destiny a reality. Order Gloria Copeland's new video curriculum at a special price of $49.95, a 40% savings for the entire curriculum package. Visit kcm.org and order online or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, a comprehensive study tool will take you into a total immersion experience in God's Word. Order your personal set today.
Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life. Now, this is the video curriculum, the workbook, and the journal. Not too long ago, Sarah and I were down at my grandparents' house, and we're sitting around the table with my grandmother, Gloria, and she was just letting us know how excited she is about this book. And to see her in that setting just get stirred about it And you know, it'd be one thing if me as a punk kid was sitting here telling you, you know, do these 10 things, do these, all these steps, and you'll have all this, and you'll be all this. And if it's truth, it's truth. But on top of all that, my grandmother has lived this. She has been there. She has done this. She has seen this. And this is something excellent for you to get a hold of. And in that she is discussing these 10 keys, when you turn them, you know, keys have got to be turned. When you turn them and you unlock these things in your life, I mean, what, in knowing the master, God's master plan for your life, what would that not affect? How could that not be good for you? What would be left out of that? Nothing. I want you to get a hold of this. This particular package is good for working with churches and small groups. If you've got a Bible study, get a hold of some of this. You're going to really enjoy it. I want to pray over you today, and I want you to join me later in the week, and we're going to continue to get into some of these things. Father, thank you for this viewing audience, this television and radio audience. I thank you, Lord, for taking these things that we're talking about, the master plan and faith for it, rooting them in our lives, grounding them in us and for us. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today starts the Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th through the 23rd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you're in the area and can get there, get there. If you're not in the area and can get there, get there. Our speakers, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, Bill Winston. My gosh, you're going to enjoy it. We do have Super Kids for ages 6 through 12 with Commander Kelly. You bring your kids, get this school year started in the right way by totally immersing them in the Word of God. Come, receive, get answers to questions. You're going to love it. For more information, you can visit our website, kcm.org. And I'm asking you to join me tomorrow. I'm excited about this week. It's going to be good. As my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, like to say a lot, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Faith at its foundation is nothing more than believing in Jesus and His Father God.